Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to a Donnie Football Friday with Greensburg's very own Donnie Football, brought to you by Smail Care, Route 30 in Greensburg. Nick Kostos joins us every Friday, one of our favorite times of the week, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern, and You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sundays 11 to 1 p.m. Eastern, leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Nick, we're looking at a pretty big game for the Steelers because they have a chance to really seize control of this division, especially if the Ravens, who is really the only team anyone's worried about, drops to 1-5. And everything's in their favor. The Browns just flew across the ocean. The Steelers are rested since their trip there, coming off a bye week. Tomlin's great off bye weeks. Tomlin's 18-0 at home against the Browns. And what is he, Donnie? 24-6 against rookie quarterbacks?
Yes.
What do you think of this one?
Great to be on with you guys. I like the Steelers. I don't know if I'd say it's one of my favorite bets, but I do like Pittsburgh laying anything under 6. The number right now at BetMGM is 5.5. And you mentioned it. This is one of the all-time worst travel spots that a team in the NFL has faced in for as long as I followed the league. It's not just that the Browns are coming off an international game. It's not just that the Steelers are coming off their bye. This is now 3 straight road games, if you wanted, obviously, London, a road game, right? 3 straight road games for the Cleveland Browns, starting a rookie quarterback in Dylan Gabriel. Now, you know, you'd like for the Steelers' injury report to be a little better here coming off the bye. Like, we'll see if Jalen Ramsey's able to practice today. We don't know if Calvin Austin's going to be able to play. He didn't practice yesterday for the Steelers. But, I mean, like, the rest of the team's pretty healthy. I don't think Dylan Gabriel's very good. Even if he's going to be adequate and serviceable, he's still not very good. And I think the Steelers' quick passing game is basically constructed to mitigate what is an excellent Browns defensive front. You know, like, I think Aaron Rodgers got a bad rap last year because of the offensive system the Jets were running with Nathaniel Hackett, where they're throwing the ball 50 times a game and he's hanging in the pocket. That's not what the Arthur Smith offense is. He's going to get the ball out fast, and I think that's how you beat the Cleveland Browns defense. Make me bet the game. I'll take the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I do think that this sets up as a good game for DK Metcalf, who has a big size advantage over Cleveland, number one corner Denzel Ward. And just the other thing that I'm watching for in this game, because I do expect the Steelers to win, fascinated to see how much Kenny Gainwell eats into Jalen Warren's role as the number one running back. Gainwell was awesome against the Vikings in the game in Dublin prior to the bye. Warren will be back here. I'm interested to see how the running back room is divvied up and if Caleb Johnson gets any touches as well.
Nick, with that being a big question for the Steelers going into this, if you're somebody betting on this game and looking into the, you know, rushing yards for each player, are you staying away from the props around Warren and Gainwell, not really knowing what that dynamic might look like?
Yeah, I think the safe expectation would be, like, Jalen Warren got a new contract, right? So Jalen Warren's going to be the one. I would be pretty, and by the way, this point spread just moved to 6 at BetMGM. So I don't want to bet the Browns, but I don't have a ton of interest in laying 6 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That number's been lower basically the entire week. So, like, interest here in Pittsburgh to win the game and to win by a good amount amongst bettors. So Warren's rushing yards prop is 48.5, Gainwell 28.5. Honestly, Donnie, like, this all just looks right to me. That sets up Warren as the 1A, Gainwell as the 1B. I think that's correct. And we'll see if Caleb Johnson gets involved at all for the Steelers in the ground game.
All right, Nick, you're based in New York. I caught a lot of crap around here when I said the Steelers, in need of a franchise quarterback, should have taken Jackson Dart. I said it. I wrote it. I took a lot of crap for it. Was I right? Are you a believer? And if you are or not, the whole town must be going crazy there among Giants fans, yes?
Oh, well, the second part of what you said is absolutely true. The town is going nuts for Jackson Dart. I'm going nuts as a Giants fan for Jackson Dart. I thought Dart made some exceptional throws in yesterday's game, and a couple of them were dropped in the game
last
night.
Yes, they were.
I thought Dart was excellent. He was under control. Now, the thing that makes you a little nervous about Jackson Dart, he's really got to start sliding. He plays with reckless abandon, which is really fun. Like, it's great when he gets up and he dives for a first down and he takes a defender on, you know, head on. Like, it's cool and it gets you fired up. If he keeps playing like this and Brian Daboll keeps calling these design runs for him after he goes to the Blue Medical Tent for a concussion check, like, he's – no, I'm being serious. Like, it is funny, you're right, and that was an event unto itself. Like, he's going to get hurt, and I'm not wishing that on him. I'm a Giants fan, and I wouldn't want that for a team I don't root for. He's going to get hurt. He's not going to make it through the year if this is what it's going to be. So they have to figure out some balance here, and he's got to start sliding and getting down a little bit, or he's going to get hurt. As far as whether or not you're right, I mean, I don't know, like, you're probably going to be 4-1 after this weekend. The Ravens are probably going to be 1-5. The Bengals are probably going to be 2-4. The Browns are going to be 1-5. Tough to say that the Steelers made the wrong call if that's going to be the case with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. So, Mike, more to be revealed there on that prediction.
You could have done both. You could have done both, Nick. You bring in the veteran, you'd have Dart sit behind him.
Maybe. I mean, it's certainly within the realm of possibility. I'm still pretty bullish on Derek Harmon and what his impact will be. I thought he played well in the game for the Steelers in Dublin, and I think he showed out pretty well in his rookie year. And I think could be a big part of the Steelers' defense down the stretch.
Nick, you brought up some of the issues going on elsewhere in the AFC North. The Steelers, obviously, with a divisional matchup on Sunday that we've already talked about. Two other ones that are pretty big spreads. The Ravens at home again, likely without Lamar Jackson, getting 7.5 points. A team that looked lifeless last week against Houston. And then Cincinnati, the first go-round there with Cowboy Joe Flacco, getting 15 points against the Packers. How do you feel about those games?
Yeah, I think both AFC North teams that you just referenced, Donnie, will lose on Sunday. As far as the point spread goes, I would only bet the Packers against the Bengals, where, you know, like, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins should have more fantasy football relevance than they did with Jake Browning. But, like, let's be crystal clear. I think I came on the show before the start of the season and said, I'm not picking the Bengals to make the playoffs with Joe Burrow at quarterback. So I certainly don't think Joe Flacco is going to be able to keep things afloat behind a brutal offensive line and with a terrible defense. Now, I think the point spread's probably just right, like Green Bay a 14-point favorite. So no desire for me to. I certainly wouldn't bet the Bengals. That would be Packers or nothing. And as far as the Rams and the Ravens go, like, Lamar Jackson's not playing in the game. Like, the Rams are 7.5-point road favorites. Lamar's not playing. Now it's just, will it be Cooper Rush or Tyler Huntley? And if it's Rush and he's terrible, like, Tyler Huntley's probably going to play. We're also expecting rain in the forecast on Sunday, which could complicate things. What I'll tell everyone right now is I would never bet Baltimore in this game right now. It would be Rams or nothing, but I think we need to see what this final injury report is for the Ravens. I want to see what the weather is like coming up on Sunday, but I feel pretty confident in saying the Ravens and Bengals and the Browns will all lose on Sunday and the Steelers will win.
Nick Kostos on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Nick, who are the front runners right now, the odds-on favorites for MVP and Defensive Player of the Year?
All right, so let's see. I want to make sure I give you the latest. Well, Josh Allen is the MVP favorite, but I want to get you the exact numbers. Give me 1 second here because I'm on BetMGM. All right, so Josh Allen is the favorite, plus 140. Patrick Mahomes, plus 450. I just think Josh Allen is very likely to win MVP. And there's been a big groundswell for Baker Mayfield this week,
yes,
Given the Buccaneers' start to the season. I don't think it's sustainable for the Bucs to keep winning these games by a razor-thin margin when they could have lost any number of these games. And that's not to take credit away from Baker Mayfield. I just think it's unlikely that his team is likely to amass, like, the gaudy one-loss record that the Buffalo Bills are going to. Now, Mahomes is interesting, right, at plus 450, but his price moved off a loss. And even if the Chiefs win on Sunday night, and I think they will against the Lions, like they're still going to be 3-3. Whereas I think the Bills, I don't know if they'll cover, but I think they'll win on Monday night in Atlanta. And Buffalo's going to move to 5-1, and the Bills' record's going to be looking pretty good. So, you know, I think Allen is probably a little more likely than the betting market indicates to win MVP. As far as defensive player of the year goes, this one's a little bit more up for grabs. So Aiden Hutchinson and Micah Parsons are the favorites atop the board. Miles Garrett's the third choice. Like, he can't win because the Browns are not going to win enough games. So he's not going to be able to win. Nick Benito, plus 500. The Broncos could amass a pretty good regular season record. But I think the reason why you're seeing Hutchinson and Parsons out in front is because the Lions and Packers will both have a lot of regular season wins their teams. And team success does matter with awards like this. So I think everything's just correct at this point. Hutchinson and Parsons is the favorite. And Josh Allen should be the favorite. Actually should probably be more of a favorite. Josh Allen should to be MVP.
Nick, a question I like asking you every Friday. What's your favorite bet on the NFL board all weekend?
All right, so let's take a look. Well, honestly, like, I like the Chiefs on Sunday night against the Lions. I like the over in the game also. Now, there is just one caveat to be issued here, because Xavier Worthy, Kansas City's number one receiver, until Rashee Rice is back from suspension. Xavier Worthy didn't practice yesterday, so we'll see if he practices today. If he does, and he's going to play on Sunday, I really like the Chiefs. I think Detroit's defense is up against it here against Mahomes and this passing offense. Down a number of their top corners. DJ Reed's on IR. Terrion Arnold's not going to play in this game. I think this sets up for a Chiefs offense, name your score type of game. So I like the Kansas City Chiefs, Donnie, coming up on Sunday night.
Nick, we appreciate the time. Another great appearance. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Looking forward to it. Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. And I'll tell you, my Steelers playoff bet's looking pretty good right now. Let's go Steelers this weekend.
Oh, wait a second. How about offensive rookie of the year? Who's the odds-on favorite? And where's Jackson Dart? And Scataboo.
Scataboo might be higher.
Let me get this up right now. So Emeka Egbuka is now a minus choice, minus 105. Jackson Dart plus 300. Scataboo plus 1300. I think all of this is correct. Egbuka should be the favorite. And just like 20 seconds on Emeka Egbuka, I am not suggesting that he will be Randy Moss. That is not what I am saying at all. Randy Moss is one of the five best receivers of my lifetime. But through five games, he is on a Randy Moss trajectory. Mm. Like, that's what he's done. Like, that's a fact. Yeah. It doesn't mean it's going to keep up.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it will, but that's how good he's been. He deserves to be the favorite right now for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And by the way, Chris Godwin's not playing this weekend, and neither is Mike Evans, against a terrible Niners secondary. This could be another show-up and show-out game for Emeka Egbuka. I don't like Jackson Dart for this award at plus 300, even though I'm a Giants fan. It's hard to imagine the Giants winning the number of games that would be requisite to get him home. Yeah. I would honestly take a look. Take a look at Tet McMillan at 12-1. He hasn't caught a touchdown pass yet this year for the Carolina Panthers. They play the Cowboys this weekend. I think that's likely to change. And Quinshon Judkins for the Browns. And I know they're playing a tough Steelers defense this week. Judkins is just passing the eye test, is the best rookie running back. I think he's better than Ashton Jeanty. I think he's better than Omarion Hampton, who's on IR right now for the Chargers. And the Browns, whether they're up 30 or down 30 in games, are going to run the ball. So Judkins and McMillan would be the two guys I would look at longer prices.
Nick, while you have it up real quick, where is Tyler Warren, the Penn State guy, on that list?
So Warren's 11-1. Look, if Brock Bowers didn't win last year, and Jaden Daniels had a historic rookie year, and like a quarterback's not doing that this year. Mm-hmm. I think like the tight end position is up against it here. I have a hard time imagining Warren wins Offensive Rookie of the Year. Although it does go noted that they are using him down by the goal line as like a running back in some spots. Could get him a couple more touchdowns, taking away from Jonathan Taylor.
Nick, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Looking forward to it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Thanks, Nick.
That was the host of You Better. He's a character, isn't he, Donnie? I like him a lot.
I look forward to those hits every Friday.
Me too.
Because I also just love going around the league a little bit too.
Nick hosts You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey. He's the Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary for all your betting and sports talk needs. Check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Man, that Josh Allen thing for MVP, like he's a shoo-in, though. I don't agree. I don't think that the world is yet keen to what I'm seeing with the Bills. Okay? And I'm being honest about that. I've seen every second of every game. They're not that good. Their defense stinks. We all saw the Ravens opener. they got historically lucky to win that game. It was phenomenal, but they got historically lucky. Keon Coleman catches a deflected pass. Derrick Henry fumbles, and then they win the game. They played like crap against New Orleans and almost lost at home, okay? And we saw their most recent game, which was a loss. They're just not that good. And guess what? They're going to lose in Atlanta. And guess what else? They're not going to win that division. And if I were a betting man, I would bet on the Patriots to win that division.
You don't think the Bills are going to win the division?
I don't. I think the Patriots are going to win it. When I look at both team schedules and I look, see, this is an example, Donnie. I don't think the world is keen yet how weak the roster is around Josh Allen. I think they have Cook, they have Deion Dawkins, and they have Ed Oliver. Those are four players. Obviously, the quarterback is one of the four that any team would want to have, pretty much. The rest of the roster, there's nobody on their front seven on defense who needs to be double teamed, except maybe Oliver, and he's a defensive tackle. There's no receiver that needs to be double teamed. They're going to lose games. They're lucky right now that they haven't lost three of them.
They do feel like a team that has been leaking oil. And that's why, going back to last week, I think that was one of the games we may have picked Austin, or maybe it was just one of the ones that I picked with the guys. I felt pretty good about going New England +8. Thinking that they'll win the game outright, but just knowing that the Bills had played games that were way too close for comfort against the Dolphins, against the Saints.
Yes.
The Dolphins, outside of a roughing the punter penalty, had a chance to win the game.
In Buffalo.
And the Saints, I think it was either late third or early fourth quarter, Spencer Rattler had a touchdown pass dropped that would have either given them the lead or brought them, you know, made it like a 3-point game.
You're preaching to the choir. And for people who are betting people out there, I'm telling you, I'm giving you something there. That the Bills have been fooling people so far this season. Now, that guy is great, and he could win MVP. And, you know, a game against Atlanta, I don't think the Bills win, but of course Josh Allen can win any game. I just don't see him as a shoe-in for MVP at all. Even right now, if I had to choose, he would not be my MVP. Matthew Stafford's been unbelievable this year, and Baker Mayfield's been incredible. Baker Mayfield would be my MVP right now. 10 touchdowns, one pick, 104 rating. Sam Darnold is off to a great start. Jared Goff, if he goes off again in this game, he leads the NFL in touchdown passes, and I think he leads in passer rating, if I'm not mistaken. No, Lamar does, but Lamar's been injured. So Jared Goff is second with a 121 passer rating. You lead the league in touchdowns and passer rating, Donnie. You've got a chance to win MVP, especially when you're on the best team.
I loved that pick when Bob made it. The day of the season, the Baker opener, Mayfield pick.
Yeah.
I loved it. I mean, you go a little bit outside the box, not too far. A guy that has been a really exciting quarterback. And the only issue with his game was, can he bring down the turnovers?
Right.
Because he was great last season. He just happened to throw 16 picks, but he threw like, 41 or 42 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It seems like he's figured that part of the game out, which is big.
Man, but when I bring up Goff, and I forgot to bring up, you have a guy who might be on the best team in football. You agree with that, that they might be Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, they're still up there.
They win this game at Kansas City in maybe a Super Bowl preview, and he has a big game. He leads the NFL in completion percentage at 75%, touchdowns with 12, and is second to Lamar in passer rating at 121. How can he not be an MVP candidate?
I'm very happy for him with how his career has turned around a bit. I mean, he was a guy that got to a Super Bowl and then was told that he wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Gets traded to Detroit, of all places, where Matt Stafford couldn't get anything done. And now we're going on 3 years in a row where that is one of the best offenses in the game.
Right. So I'm not with Nick there. Maybe he's just telling us the odds, I know, but yeah. He seemed to think that Josh Allen would run away with this thing. I am vehemently not on that train.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That music must mean it's time for Bechtold's Breakdown. We're coming up on the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, and The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Dr. Bechtold, the show is yours.
That's exactly what the music means, Joe. Thank you, as the Bechtold Breakdown is brought to you by Southside Plumbing and Heating on this Friday, October 10th. 2025, hit up Jake for all your plumbing and heating needs. They're calling it the Philly Nightmare, Donnie. I saw you tweet about it. I tweeted about it. Oh, it brought some joy to us, though, on the other side of the state. As the Phillies, I was sad for Kirkering, the pitcher, when he didn't throw to the mound. He went home and it lost the series for Philly in 11 innings, too. It's a double whammy. The Eagles lose. The Flyers lose. Nightmare for Philadelphia, Donnie. Isn't it nice to have rivals, though? And when you see your rivals lose, it just kind of feels good.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not going to feel bad for Philadelphia because they've also had an abundance of success in that city for quite some time. Maybe not so much in hockey where the Penguins have, not really in basketball, but that doesn't really affect us since we don't have a pro team. But in baseball, their team is almost always good. I'm always envious of the big games that the Phillies are playing in. And the Eagles have been maybe the, besides the Chiefs, in the NFC, they've been like the model franchise of the last decade or so in football, where the Steelers have had such a terrible drought. Philly, they seemingly do every single thing right when it comes to football. So, yeah, it is kind of nice to see when they just get buried in three of their four major sports only because they didn't have a basketball game yet.
I don't like it. I don't feel good about it because my lovely daughter-in-law, Abby, is a Philly girl. She lives and dies with their teams. So when she's sad, Donnie, I'm sad. I guess privately I'm not that sad about the Eagles especially, but the Phillies, I wanted the Phillies to win. I don't want the Dodgers to win.
I wanted the Phillies to.
I hate the Dodgers. I mean, watching that series and watching that team leaves me just rageful and sad for the sport of baseball. It's a $350 million payroll. Every time you look up, it's some incredible, unhittable pitcher, or it's Mookie Betts or Otani or Freeman, or it's ridiculous.
They have a
Donnie.
Lineup of all-stars.
It's ridiculous. And I wanted them to lose.
I'll tell you what would have been pretty easy, though, being a sports radio host in Philly this morning.
Can you imagine those 4 hours?
I think my plan would have just been to
open the phone lines.
Well, that, but I would just rage about the two really bad losses. The Flyers, it was just their first game. It's like whatever. It's basically a footnote on this. The way the Phillies lost and the fact that the Eagles not only lost, they got embarrassed. Two rookies against a division rival beat them up for four quarters
and celebrated like it was Mardi Gras,
and
which they deserved.
So I would have had like an opening soliloquy, and then I would have just taken calls the rest of the way. I mean, they would have been off the hook for both games.
Oh my God. You have to start with the Phillies though, right? You got to start with that.
I think given the magnitude of that game, yes.
Yeah, disastrous night for Philly sports. You're right about that.
And I enjoyed it. All right. Lamar Jackson did not practice today for the Ravens.
Man.
Oh, boy.
Cooper Rush is in line to start against the Rams.
Boy.
Give me the Rams in this one. Give me five for the Ravens. Oh, boy. It's staring right in the face, Joe.
Limits, if you could, give me the rest of that Ravens injury report because I'm really, really curious to see that. But, yeah, Lamar's the guy. When he plays, they win literally almost all the time in the regular season. They almost always win when he plays. And without him, they're an expansion team, Donnie. And I have no reason to believe. I think Sean McVay is one of the best coaches in the league. Matthew Stafford looks healthy. Looks like an MVP candidate. I think they're going to win that game by 2 touchdowns. But I am curious what else you see there, Limits.
Yeah, I don't see a full injury report, at least an official one as of yet. But Jackson was out as well as Roquan Smith and Chidobe Awuzie, according to reports.
Is Kyle Hamilton back?
Yeah, I'd be curious about
that. That's like one of their only reprieves. But they were missing, I think, their top six highest paid players last Sunday. And it was the effort was just lifeless. I mean, I compared it to like a bad high school football team that like goes into a game against a, you know, just somebody else they don't have a chance against. That's what it looked like. It was over the moment that ball got kicked off.
I expect them to come out because they're the Ravens with a more spirited effort, but I don't think it's going to do any good. Unfortunately for them, I think they might be playing one of the top five teams in the NFL. I really do believe that about the Rams. There's talent on both sides of the ball and a red-hot quarterback. I don't think I really can't picture the Ravens winning this game.
I would also play Tyler Huntley. I don't know why there's any sort of hold up to. I mean, he is the guy who's, I mean, he's nowhere close to Lamar Jackson, but you can at least do a similar offense and run a similar style with Tyler Huntley that you do with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
With Cooper Rush, you can't do that. You can't play that game. You can work in Derrick Henry a whole lot more.
I agree.
And if you can slow down the game a little bit if you keep it on the ground, because, yeah, the Rams are going to score a lot of points in this game. The Ravens' defense allows, I think, 35 points per game, something laughable.
They're going to go to 1-5. The Steelers literally have a chance to all but wrap up this division by Halloween.
Oh,
Donnie, our friends at ML Football have thrown out the idea of the Steelers trading for A.J. Brown.
Oh, my God.
In Philadelphia. ML
Wait
Football.
A second. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's crazy. He's very unhappy, it would appear, and the Steelers suddenly have a guy that a team like the Eagles would want. His name is Alex Highsmith. I don't think that's a crazy idea. You throw in a draft pick? Well, what are they saying?
ML Football just throwing it out there as like hypothetical.
Yeah.
Like they didn't say anything in terms of a package or anything, what it could look like. I would think...
How long's he signed for? What's his deal all about? I need to know the parameters here, Donnie. Do we have that on A.J. Brown?
Yeah, he signed a three-year, $96 million extension prior to the 2024 season. So after this year...
One more year?
He has one more year.
At $32 million? See, they can afford to splurge like that because they don't have to pay a quarterback.
So that was actually... They have an out after 27, but that extension was on top of an existing deal that he already had. Mm-hmm. He is currently signed through 2029 with them.
Yeah, he's getting paid through the time he's 32.
It's a big deal. $32 million a year?
His cap hit is 23 next year, 22 and 27, then 28 and 29 million.
Donnie, thoughts?
I mean, I like the fact that there is a potential out sitting there in 2027. I think that's nice because it's right before the guy's going to turn 30, and maybe it's one more bite at the apple here. I mean, I'm certainly not going to hold my breath on something this massive. I mean, that would truly turn the Steelers into a contender. You reunite a couple of former college teammates, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, and then you do have one of the single best wide receiver pairings in football with those two guys.
What are the Eagles? What are their main problems right now? They've been banged up a little bit on defense.
Jalen Carter didn't play last night, and that always does hurt their defense.
They're not blocking well enough for Saquon. Can you believe that? The Eagles' offensive line was not pushed around, but the Giants won at the line of scrimmage. There's no doubt in that game that the Giants did.
Landon Dickerson's been beat up, too.
Yeah.
So that's been a loss for them.
Yeah, like they're certainly not as dominant.
How about
in the trenches as they've been?
How about Alex Highsmith and a third round pick?
I mean, I think he's expendable now with how good Herbig is. Herbig's going to be hard enough to keep off the field.
What if they want, say, Amalu back to help their offensive line that stinks so far this year, or at least can't run?
I'd probably give it to him.
So would I.
Yeah.
I'm curious about this, that's all, because he seems very unhappy, does he not?
He definitely does, and I can't imagine that last night went over very well with anybody.
Are we on to something here, Donnie?
Possibly we are, Joe.
I think that's very interesting.
Yes.
All right.
Now, did they just pull that themselves, or did they actually pull that from somewhere else?
They pulled that just out of their rear end, I think.
I mean, the other thing we know is that this Steelers, well, I shouldn't say just this Steelers regime. I mean, late in the Kevin Colbert years, they did trade a first round pick for Minka. The Steelers in recent years have become more open to taking big swings.
I mean, Austin and I were on the air together this summer when they made the big trade of the summer, the Jalen Ramsey trade.
Right. I mean, this wouldn't shock me if they made a deal for a prominent receiver. I wouldn't be shocked. I couldn't be shocked because they do these kinds of things now. I don't know if these parameters are right or if Highsmith would be the guy, but the notion of them trading for a prominent receiver, I don't think is crazy.
Well, and we know how much Philadelphia values its front seven. So if they could have another addition there to a group that's been weakened by guys leaving in free agency and not necessarily picking it up in the draft yet, Highsmith could be a logical candidate because we know Philadelphia loves to run the ball.
Yeah.
And they use some of those bigger formations that the Steelers have been utilizing. I could see that happening.
Now, they don't need a tight end, do they? Because Freiermuth is also expendable.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think Goddard's a pretty good player.
Throw in Calvin Austin if they want him. You all right with that?
Yeah. I wouldn't be held up over Calvin Austin. How many players are you throwing back here? Are you like
the whole roster
one?
If they want it? Yeah. Highsmith, Sayamalu, Calvin Austin, and a third round pick.
I was
going
to say, you just keep naming names and you're up to like five players.
Is Saquon Barkley being included back in the trade?
No, I want one guy, man. I want A.J. Brown.
And so that he could read on the sideline?
Yeah, he could certainly improve the reading around here. He's a stud.
He is. They just got to get him the ball. Philly hasn't done that well enough. Well, right. One guy that tries to take the ball away is Jalen Ramsey, Joe. And he has a hamstring injury. He did not practice yesterday. Calvin Austin with his shoulder also didn't practice.
Did he jinx himself, Donnie? Did he jinx himself with the fake injury?
I think it was some bad karma.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that some shamrocks or something came back to bite him there in Ireland.
No luck of the Irish, whatever the opposite of that would
be. Yeah, right.
The bigger loss is if both of these players cannot go on Sunday. What do you think, Joe? Ramsey or Austin? Bigger loss of the two players.
I think Ramsey easily.
What? Ramsey.
Okay. I was just asking because the Steelers have shown some pretty decent corner depth.
Yeah, but their defense, their pass defense overall stinks. Let me go back to the numbers game, Donnie, while you pontificate about this for a moment.
I feel the same way because they've still allowed a ton against the pass.
Yeah, I'll tell you how many. This is from Matt Williamson over at Steelers.com on the cheat sheet. 178.8. The Steelers give up the third most receiving yards per game and the second most receptions per game to the wide receiver position. Wide receivers are carving them. And by the way, sometimes with Jalen Ramsey in there and being a culprit, I might add. But to lose him, I just think would be gigantic. You know who I think we're going to see more of this week? And a lot of maybe is little Scotty Miller.
Instead of Roman.
Well, Ray said yeah. He would be returning the punts.
Yeah, I think he's going to get more action in the pass game. Over under 3.5 catches for Scotty Miller. It's Miller time. I say over.
Over 3.5.
Yeah.
I'm going to go under.
Over under 3.5 for the Roman candle.
Snaps or catches?
See the cousin of the Yankee candle?
Are we going snaps or catches? 3.5.
Both.
I'm going to go under on the receptions. I do think he gets a little bit more than 3 snaps.
What's the story with him? What has happened here? Since the beginning of last year, we get all this crap about how he can't pick up the offense and about this and that and this and that. Now there's opportunities for him, and he was hurt but then not hurt last season. What's the deal with this guy? He's made one play here, and that was breaking up an interception.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit tired of hearing the excuses for him, too. I mean, I thought he was a decent, like, gritty player at Michigan. I'm not saying I disliked him as a college player or even when they did draft him, but now they're just people coming to his defense. And, I mean, I don't mean to really call out Ray, but, I mean, I felt like he was just making an excuse for why we don't see more of the guy. Like,
it's time.
Can he play or not?
He is
a third-round pick.
Right.
It wasn't like the guy was an undrafted nobody.
Right. And this is the time, Donnie.
You're in your second year. I understand you were injured for a lot of year one, but it's like the guy is non-existent.
Right. You crystallized it for me that if he doesn't step up now or if he isn't even afforded the opportunity now, I think it's going to be bye-bye eventually for Roman Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, like, when is it ever going to happen for
right.
him?
This is
if he can't get on the field when they have one legitimate wide receiver, like what, is it going to take every other guy on their roster going down?
Throw him in there, too. I'll take A.J. Brown for Highsmith, Sayamalu, Austin, Roman Wilson, and a third-round pick.
Can I include Scotty Miller in the deal,
and
too?
Scotty Miller.
We need Skoranek to have more touches.
If you include Roman Wilson, they're actually going to ask for a first-rounder.
Probably. Sunny and a high of Ricard Raquel today, 67, a low of Myron Bell, 40. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. A Brown Steelers quiz show coming up at the top of the hour. Limits, why don't you give us one more from the Bechtold breakdown?
I'll combine them. So stop me if you've ever heard this before, but Pony set Twitter ablaze yesterday.
Oh my God.
By saying that the Penguins are 2 points further away from Gavin McKenna. Now,
and you hopped on the back of that.
I am in full agreeance with Pony on this, and Pony and I don't always agree on a lot of things when it comes to these types of takes. But I agree, man. Like, look, I'm happy that the Big Three is performing well and that they're having success. Don't get that wrong. But I honestly believe, and I would rather have, this is similar with the Steelers, 1 year where you try to position yourself as further as possible, and I'm not cheering for them to lose every single game. Don't get that wrong. But to find the best way to position yourself for McKenna, I think that matters more than anything because that is the next Sidney Crosby, McDavid-like player that can turn your franchise around. 1 year can change your team for the next 10 to 15, and I would be willing to sacrifice 1 year, even though it is the last year of the Big Three, to put myself in best position to find my next Big Three to have success.
Yeah, we've had this discussion a few times. I mean, and I'm on your side. I mean, I'm not going to be upset when the Penguins win a game and if they happen to be, you know, maybe a lot better than what any of us anticipated, because I think we all just assumed new head coach, they didn't bring anything in of substance, like they're going to be a bad team. They're just running it back with like the three guys that have been here for two decades. I'm going to be happy if those guys can play well and they're better than what we expect, but you are better positioned for your future if you have a bad season. In hockey, you don't even have to be the worst team.
Right.
Just be in that conversation. Just be in that lottery. And I said the other day, if they're in like the bottom five or six of the league, I think they're going to end up with that pick. Those things are
fishy,
very fishy. I mean, we just saw it happen in basketball. You can't tell me for a second the team in Dallas that traded their superstar to L.A., they just miraculously ended up with the first overall pick, and they got Cooper Flagg. It happens.
Why would you want Dallas, of all teams, of all markets, to have that guy? I mean, it's an okay market, don't get me wrong, but there are others I'd rather have Cooper Flagg go to, wouldn't you?
As a thank you to trading Luka to the Lakers? I think that makes some sense. For the Lakers, the biggest brand in basketball,
I think there was something fishy going on there.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do, too.
I mean, I know that people could try to dig into it and prove it, but I don't know. I feel like stuff like that happens.
I don't know. I feel like the Penguins for 3 years now have been out of the playoffs. I'm a big proponent of tanking, by the way, but apparently that's not the way this is going to go. And if they start to lose, would I trade off assets and then go for it? Yes. But right now, I guess I'm just enjoying these first two games too much to really get behind that. No, I'm not going to do that. When they win a hockey game where the big three is honored and Harrison Brunick, who's a really good player, by the way, plays a key role in a game and Mario's on site, I'm not going to come out with a tweet after that says, this sucks. They need to get closer to the McKenna sweepstakes. I want to watch the Penguins win some games. I think they're all of a sudden, very surprisingly, interesting through two games.
And look, I understand that it's not the worst team gets the number one pick. I get that. But
your chances of getting the number one pick, no matter where you finish, are pretty darn minimal.
Unless you're in the top three and you have those, 25% odds each and everyone else is like 16, 14, whatever. I just feel like there's a lot of living in the moment right now, which is okay. I'm not going to tell anybody how to fan. But me personally, I just think that's the quickest way to be able to upstart this rebuild.
So
maybe the roster's better than I give it credit for.
Actively rooting for them to lose then.
Not every single game. Like, I want to see Crosby score 40 goals and do well.
If that's your take, then you need to. And by the way, the worst team in the league still only has an 18.5% chance. Or no, 25.5. The second worst has 13.5. And the third worst has 11.5. Limits, if I told you there was an 11.5 chance of anything, would you feel good about those odds?
Not really.
Me neither. So you really have to stink. And by the way, you're going to have a lot of competition. Have you heard of the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, even though they're not so mighty
anymore?
Yeah,
they're pretty bad.
The Flyers, the Buffalo Sabres.
The Sharks, they're pretty bad still.
Yeah, the Utah Mammoth, maybe they'll be bad. I don't know. Maybe they'll be good. I don't care, really. You're probably going to wind up with about a 7% chance, even if you stink. So, listen, a guy like Brunick, he looks like a really good player to me.
He does.
They already have some picks sort of stockpiled right now. I want to see them win. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm leaving my own philosophy on the table here. But I'm sick of watching. There's so many damn games. I'm sick of watching 300 Penguins games in a row that I'm bored with. I want to see them win a little.
I think water will find its level a little bit with them, though, too. I mean, it's nice out of the gate, back-to-back wins.
Who's to say they're not the Spencer Carberry Capitals? Their coach is as bald as Joe Block. Both of them are. Carberry, Block, and Dan Muse.
He and Block really are doppelgangers.
It is like, incredible.
It's one of the best pairs I've ever seen.
It's the greatest doppelganger in Pittsburgh sports history of any two people. Can you think of anything that's remotely similar where both of them are in Pittsburgh sports? I can't. I've never seen the likes of it. Limits?
No.
Can we hear the Calliopes could be heard from here to Sewickley?
Please. Just for... And rest in peace to Sister Jean, guys. 106.
I saw that.
Sister Jean passes away.
Man, that story is part of what makes the NCAA tournament so great. Right, Donnie?
I had a bad feeling when she announced her retirement a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. What was she, 106?
106 years old.
My God. Can you play for Donnie as well before we go here, Limits? This was a treat. Mike McDaniel, sounding like he just finished, 18 bong hits in a row. Donnie, talking about his meeting with the Dolphins owner. Listen to this man. And then picture him giving like a fiery speech at halftime to get the guys fired up. Listen to this.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he was as I was. And, you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers. That was kind of the extent of it.
Let's go out and get them Bills, boys. Let's go.
He is not going to be their coach when they come to town here in mid-December.
I mean, listening to that, I'm worried if he's going to be okay by mid-December, just to live from a day-to-day basis. Did you hear that?
It was pretty incoherent.
I would say so. I would say that's kind.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.